This is the second major division in the book. These are the things that are church-related things. And we are going to find out in each one of these messages, beginning here with the first to Ephesus, and we have here in the first seven verses of the second chapter, the letter that the Lord Jesus sends to this church there. We today probably are not conversant with the fact that in the first and second centuries, letter writing and travel were just commonplace in the Roman Empire. There was extensive communication throughout the Roman Empire that period. And so these seven letters of the Apocalypse are very remarkable for other reasons. And the most important, it's the direct letter from Christ to the churches. And therefore, we have two epistles to the Ephesians, the epistle that Paul wrote, and now the epistle that John wrote, and the Lord Jesus is the one that's sending it through John here. Dr. Deismann, years ago, in his book Light from the Ancient East, he made distinction between letters and epistles, which actually is proven to be artificial and entirely false. These seven letters had a very large and extensive outlet. They reached multitudes of people. You see, they were addressed to an area, and I want to say a word about these seven churches in general. They were outstanding churches in that day. However, there were other outstanding churches. And this area of the Roman Empire was probably the most important part of the Roman Empire in the first and second and even the third centuries. And the reason is that here is where East and West met. By 2000 B.C., there was a civilization along this coast of Asia Minor, as we know it today, the west coast of Turkey there. It's a very beautiful area, very lovely area. It reminds me a great deal of Southern California, but it's without smog, of course. And it's as beautiful a country as you will see anywhere, and some of the richest land is there. Here was the great heart of the great Hittite nation in ancient times. And by 2000, there were these cities that were inhabited. Ephesus was inhabited at 2000 B.C. So was Smyrna, which is modern Ismia, and Pergamum, obviously a little later on. And then Thyatira and Sardis came along probably later and were made great in the times of Alexander the Great. And that was known as the Anatolian civilization that met the Greek civilization there. And you can always tell the difference. The gods of the Anatolians, which were a more primitive people, their gods were beasts, whereas the gods of the Romans were human beings, actually, projected out and made large, of course. So that what you have here are letters that travel through that area, and the impact actually was tremendous at that time. For instance, when you come to the city of Ephesus, it was a city of about 200,000 people, actually. It was a great city, and they had this great outdoor theater there that would seat 20,000. And it was a city that was made of white marble. It was a beautiful place. Paul comments on that. And we may think that the impact of the gospel was not great in that particular area. But if we think that, we're entirely wrong. Actually, in the city of Ephesus, it made such an impact that at the entrance to the harbor, there were four great pillars. And they have the cross. Only one stands today. It has the cross on it. And one was to Matthew, one to Mark, one to Luke, and one to John. You see that after Paul and after John, there was a tremendous Christian population in that area. and even Dr. Luke could write concerning that area, that all in Asia, both Jew and Gentile, heard the gospel. And there could have been upwards of 25 millions of people in that area. Here is the place where the Roman emperors came. It was a great resort area. And here is the place, as we've said, where east is east and west is west. And the twain did meet there. And it formed a great civilization. And here is where Paul had, I suppose, his greatest ministry was in the city of Ephesus. And out from there, the gospel was sounded forth throughout all of Asia, Dr. Luke says, so that all heard it, both Jew and Greek. Now, not all turned to Christ, but everyone heard it. That was probably the greatest movement and the greatest, what we would call, revival that has taken place in the history of the church. It took place in that particular area.